In the past few years, as I've studied the Word of God and tried to put God's Word into practice, I have found, or rather I should say, rediscovered a very important principle. And that is the importance of having Jesus Christ as the center of our Christian lives. In other words, the importance of living a balanced life. I got a little video here, Carol. I'm going to see. How many of you have ever tried something like this? It doesn't look like much. But if you've ever done it, this is what happens. Balance is important, amen? And it's important in many areas of our lives, all the way from balancing our checkbooks. And I have to say that if Olga is out one penny, she will spend hours trying to find that one penny to balance the checkbooks. Balancing our budgets. How many know that balance is important when you're on a bicycle? Yeah. Even eating is supposed to be balanced. How many here like to eat from the Ford food groups? Well, maybe not quite like this. Being balanced in the Christian life is very important. And sometimes we allow things to come into our lives to stir us up, to spin us around to the point where we can't even walk straight for the Lord anymore. And this is why I believe it's an important thing for us to be centered and balanced in Jesus. How many here have brought your Bibles? Good. We're going to turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first five verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and one of the things that I like to do is when we read God's Word as a body, I would like to ask you, if you're able, to stand with me as I read God's Word. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us here this morning, that as we look into your word, that you would help us, Lord, to find the center. Find the balance in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your name be glorified, that everything we say, everything we do would be to you, for you, and for your glory. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the center. This is the balance in Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people walking around, wandering around, seeking some point of stability in their lives. Some point of reference, which will answer the question, why am I here? Have you ever wondered, why am I here? I believe that we know the answer, and that answer is Jesus. And I believe that as we determine to know Jesus, as we determine to have him as the center of all, we will be able to answer the questions of those people who come up to us and ask, why are you so calm in this situation? Why are you not running around? Why is it that you seem to have this special peace about you? And when we have Jesus as the center, we will be able to answer these questions. Like it says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As we have Jesus as our center, we will be able to answer the questions that people have. We have hope. We have assurance in Jesus. And as we are centered in him, not only will we be able to help those around us, we will be able to walk firm and sure, not being distracted by the things that happen in our lives. As the Bible describes it, not being tossed to and fro. I had an aunt and uncle who were quite elderly, but they still enjoyed getting out and driving around. Aunt Selma and Uncle Andy. It was actually kind of funny because whenever they had come to visit, Uncle Andy didn't like to visit so long. And he had this thing where, okay, it's time for us to go. He would bring his keys out, start jingling the keys. And Aunt Selma would ignore it. But they still like getting out and driving around. The problem was my Uncle Andy was easily distracted. They'd be driving along and Aunt Selma would go, Father, look at that! And would point to something in the store window. And Uncle Andy, being quite the obedient husband he was, would look at what was she was pointing at. But unfortunately, as he turned to look, he would turn the steering wheel. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and not get distracted by the things around us because we all know how easy it is for us to leave the path. We need to be centered in Jesus, but not only centered, we need to be balanced. What do I mean by balanced? Well, in one way, it's not placing more emphasis on one area of ministry or spiritual gifting than another. For example, this is a Pentecostal church, right? We know that. More formally, this is a church, part of the fellowship of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, PAOC. As a Pentecostal church, one of the main doctrines is being filled and moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. And how many here really enjoyed what Jaron had to say last Sunday on Pentecost Sunday? Isn't that kid a great preacher? Man, I just enjoy what he has to say. And I liked what he said about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Does this mean that we should emphasize being filled with the Spirit over everything else? No. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit every day of our lives. We need to be led by His Spirit in everything we do. But this does not mean we should overemphasize the Holy Spirit to a place greater than Jesus. How about the Bible? You brought your Bibles? Good. That's a good thing. Do you believe that the Bible is God's infallible word and that he speaks to us through his word? Amen. Amen. I hope so. And even though I rely upon God's word for every message I speak, for everything I believe, for my daily bread, the Bible is not my emphasis. Why have we been given the word of God? So that we might know Jesus. In fact, when we read the Gospel of John in the first chapter, we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the Word here? Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything we are, everything we believe, everything that we have received from God must be centered in Jesus. Because when we place emphasis on anything else, we will lose our balance. Okay, I'm going to show my age here. How many here have ever played with something like this? Yeah? Yeah, you'd lift up the handle and you push it down, and as you do it, it would spin around. And the faster you go, the faster it would spin. Some of them, it was really cool, some of them would make a sound. Did you have one of those? Those were the expensive ones. I never had one of those. I had one of these. I don't think it was as fancy as this one. You see the thing on the bottom? I think that's where the sound comes from. I had one of these things, and I placed a magnet on the side, wondering what would happen. So I pumped it up, and this thing jumped and wobbled so bad that it just fell over. And it's the same thing with us. Too much emphasis on one area, even if it's a good thing, and we get out of balance. Chocolate is a good thing. Amen? Too much chocolate's not a good thing. It's true. They've done medical studies. If all we ate was chocolate, that'd be a bad thing. There has to be a balance. Sometimes you have to put peanut butter on the chocolate. Do you know what the technical term for being out of balance is? It's eccentric. We don't want to be eccentric people. Oh, by the way, do you know what the difference between eccentric and crazy is? Have you ever figured that one out? It's how much money you have in the bank. Okay. There has to be a balance. James talked about this in James 2:18. Now, some may argue some people have faith. Other people have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. And what James is saying is here is that we have to have a balance between faith and good deeds. Okay? The just shall live by faith. But our faith is shown by our good deeds. And so I want us to look at five things in our Christian life that need to be in balance in order for us to be effective as servants of the King. Wait a second. Is he just getting to the sermon now? Well, yeah. But that's all right. Because I only have 5 points. Don't worry about it. It's a beautiful day. Nobody needs to go. Nah. You know how the way I preach, right? Somebody came up to me. You know, I like the way you preach, Dan. It's real quick. So, 5 areas of balance that I believe that we need to have in balance, okay? Now, have you ever thought, I wish Jesus would speak to me personally. I'd love to hear the very words of Jesus and have him tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. Have you ever wondered that? You know what? We have directly from Jesus his very words. And the reason I know we have his very words is because they're in red, in the red letter edition Bibles. Okay. We have his very words, and he has given us 2 directives to follow. Now, I'm a guy. 1 directive, not a problem. 2, I can handle. Don't give me 3 or more. but two things I can handle. And he gave us two directives, two orders that teach us the five main goals that should be balanced in our lives. And they are found in Matthew 22, 37 to 39, and Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And they are called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. These are direct from the manufacturer to the consumer, directly from Jesus to us. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission. In the Great Commandment, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, just a little background here. An expert in the laws of God had come to Jesus. And because he was an expert in the laws of God, and there were over 500 in the Old Testament, this one wanted to find out which the very greatest one was. I don't know, maybe he was trying to settle a bet with his buddies or trying to figure out, you know, I've always followed the greatest of the great laws. So an expert came to Jesus and said, asked him, "What is the greatest law, the greatest commandment?" And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37. "Love the Lord with all your heart." Love the Lord with all your heart. How do we love God? Well, one way is by telling him, "I love you." And the favorite way I have of telling God that I love him is by what we were doing this morning, being led by Jamie, worshiping him, by telling him and living him, living just how much we love him. Worshiping God, praising God, loving God is the first thing that needs to be in balance. We as the church exist to worship God. Matthew 4:10 says, "You shall love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name." Individually? Together. Worshiping God is a way that we can show him how much we love him. And this needs to be in balance. We don't worship God because we have to, because it's our duty. We worship God because we want to. We should enjoy expressing our love to God. Jamie, do you have fun when you're up here leading in worship? Yeah? Why? Can't hear you, buddy. It's something we love to do, and it fulfills the commandment to worship God. Did you know that? That's why it feels so good. That's why it's so much fun, because it's the right thing to do. We should enjoy expressing our love to God. This is why we sing songs, or we used to sing songs like, "Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love." How many have never heard that one? Wow. Jamie, do you know that one? No? Okay. It's so old, it's new. Did you know that, people who know that, did you know that we're cutting edge now? Yeah. It's probably in that strange book called the hymn book. Boy, am I getting old. David goes, "Yep." Sometimes we get so busy working for God, we don't even take the time to express our love to God through worship. The time we spend in worshiping Jesus needs to be in balance with everything else we do. Second thing that needs to be in balance is loving our neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. I believe a practical way of loving your neighbor is through ministry. We as the church exist to not only worship God, but to minister to one another. We are called to be servants of one another. And ministry is demonstrating God's love to others by meeting their needs and healing their hurts in the name of Jesus. By caring for one another. Each time that you reach out in love to others, you're ministering to them. Ephesians 4:12 says that the church and church leaders are there to equip the saints. But for what? Why are we being equipped? For the work of the ministry, for building the body of Christ. But our love for others does not end in these, I was going to say four walls, but how many walls do we have here? Okay. Because God is in our hearts, and we know from John 3:16 that God so loved, how much? Because God is in our hearts, and his love abides in us, we are to love the world, the people around us. But not just saying love, doing love. And these two things, worshiping God and loving your neighbor, are called the great commandment. Because Jesus said, "You shall do, this is what you shall do." Then in Matthew 28:19-20, we see what Jesus told us in the Great Commission. And these two verses, Matthew 28:19-20, these two verses contain the last three areas that need to be in balance in the Christian walk. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So the third thing that needs to be in balance is to go. We as the Church of Jesus Christ exist to communicate God's word. We are here so that we can be in, we can be encouraged and built up and edified and learn about God so that when we go out of these doors, we can build up, encourage, edify, and teach others about Jesus. Have you ever been in a church where you see the doors there where those guys are holding up the doors? Have you ever been in a church where over the door like that it says, "You are now entering your mission field"? Yeah. We have been told by God, by Jesus Christ, to go. That makes us ambassadors for Christ. And our mission is to evangelize the world. In the original language, when Jesus said go, it's a continuous verb. As you are going. As you are going. Don't just go once. As you are going. Hazel, you went once to India. It was great, wasn't it? You want to go on another missions trip? Yeah, me too. But it doesn't have to be around the world. Because as soon as we go out through these doors, we're in our mission field. As you are going, share the word. Oh, but that's the work of the pastor. Once we get one. That's what we pay him for. No. Because it's every Christian's responsibility to share the good news wherever we go. If you knew the secret cure for cancer, would you keep it a secret? Would you share it? Ah, that'd be the first thing to go on Facebook. We know something better than the cure for cancer. Jesus Christ. So far we have worship God, love your neighbor, go or evangelize. What are we supposed to go and do? Well, we're supposed to go and baptize. What does he mean by baptize? Well, why is baptism so important that Jesus put it into the Great Commission? Because I believe that baptism is a symbol of one of the purposes of the church. The symbol of identification. It's our fellowship with Jesus, our identification with the body of Christ. When we read about the teaching of baptism in the New Testament, we are dead with Christ. We are buried with Christ. We are raised with Christ to a new life. We are identified with him. And when we get baptized in water, it shows the world, I identify myself with Jesus Christ, and I identify myself as those who have been baptized with Jesus, and we have fellowship together. We are called to belong, not to just believe. Baptism is not only a symbol of salvation, it's a symbol of fellowship. It's identification with the body of Christ. When a person says, I want to be baptized in water, it's saying, I want to be identified with the body of Christ. And when new believers are baptized, we welcome them into the family, fellowship of the family of God. It shows that we are no longer alone, but we are part of the fellowship. How many remember the old chorus? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And again, there's people going, I've never heard that one before. Wow. I'm going to have to bring a cane up next time. The fifth area, and I told you it would go quickly, didn't I? The fifth area that needs to be in balance is teaching. We need to teach others to obey God's commands. We need to be able to teach each other what it means to be a Christian. We need to be able to teach each other how to go and, as we are going, share the word of God. We need to be able to teach each other how to replicate each other. We as the church exist to edify, build up, or educate God's people. Discipleship. Discipleship is the process of helping people to become more like Jesus in their thoughts, in their feelings, in their actions. You ever wondered why the 12 guys, the main 12 guys that hung around with Jesus were called disciples? Because they were learning to be like Jesus. We need to learn to become more like Jesus. That's one of the purposes of coming to church on Sunday. We need to be able to teach others to become more like Jesus. I once had a friend who taught me the greatest trick in training a dog. Do you want to know what the greatest trick in training a dog is? First, you have to know more than the dog. In order for us to be training people, we ourselves have to learn. And the learning to be more like Jesus is not, oh, I go to Bible college for 4 years, and once I come out, I know it all. Is that right, Brett? No. It's a lifelong learning experience. Discipleship, becoming more like Jesus. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up at this time. And this is where you sum it up. I'll tell you one trick I learned in Bible college. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them. And then tell them what you told them. This is the tell them what I told them. We are called not only to reach people, but to teach them. It's our responsibility to help people to become spiritually mature. These five commands that Jesus gave us, when they are in balance, loving and worshiping God, loving and ministering to one another, evangelism, which is telling others about Jesus, fellowshipping with one another, and finally, teaching others about Jesus. These five things in balance with Jesus as the center will make us as Christians, will make us as the church strong and healthy and on the path where God wants us to be. Keep balanced. Keep strong and healthy in Him. And remember, keep Jesus as the center of all we do. Like Paul said in Acts 17:28. Where did it go? It says, in Him we live and move and have our very being. Amen.